Hey, everybody in Toasty Talk Land. This is Brian from BZ Furfur. I'm here with the lovely Zona.
Hello.
And the ever charming David and Renee.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome, everybody, to this. Clearly, David is extremely excited for this conversation.
The three of us had such weird energy on our highs. I did not.
Well, I'll bring it then. I'll bring
yeah,
the,
it's
bring
great.
The
You're
energy.
Doing great.
Excellent. So today on Pyro Toasty Talks, we are going to be having something we haven't done in a while, a fireside chat. We're at the middle of the year. We've got a few shows this year under our belt. We're coming up on the busy season, and we've got a lot to talk about. So let's just get to it. Zona, I think you had something on your, some burning questions on your mind. Oh, burning questions. Haha.
Oh boy, here we go.
We were talking about tents.
Yes. Yeah, we were just talking about the fact that you and I just bought a new tent because I wanted one with an awning. Because I wanted something to cover me when I'm in the front, when I'm burning now. Because since I'm burning in the front of the tent, I found that part of the issue that I was having personally was just that the sun is always in my face. The sun is in my face. The sun is on my table. The sun is like on my work as I'm burning. And one, I get very... I'm just kind of worried about that, I guess, with the sun on the wood, the raw wood, and it's just hard to see because of the glare and whatnot. But I just kind of like the awning. I like being the a little bit of shade. Thank you very
Okay,
much.
wait, so I have a question. So your tent previously was a 10 foot, 10 by 10?
It's 10 by 10, yes.
Okay, so when you say you're sitting out in the front of your tent, are you outside of that 10 by 10 square? Or are you like on the edge of the 10 by 10, but on the inside?
I'm on the edge on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the, like whoever's running it, sometimes they'll be okay with me being outside a little bit. Sometimes they don't care if I'm like outside. Like I could set up my boot, myself, like literally outside the tent, like me and my table right outside the tent.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're just like, that's not happening. You need to be inside the tent.
Some shows are a lot stricter about your footprint and
Exactly. But I wanted the awning, one for the extra shade for myself, but also to give myself, if I am outside, to give myself a little bit of extra shade. But even if I'm not allowed to be outside of my tent per se, what I also found is that the sun, if I have product like right at the front of the tent, the sun is also on the product in the front. And I don't want the sun directly on the product. So I wanted that extra shade. So it's either like I push the product back, but then I'm losing space, but then I have to put something in the very front to make up for that space.
So it builds on an extra bit of shadow for
just
you.
A little bit. And I mean, since it's up top as an awning, they don't necessarily care about the awning space. It doesn't really matter to them.
Also, it keeps your Northern European husband from getting cooked out in the sun.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
We've had a lot of shows this year that have been very particular about their aisle space. So they would care. Like, we've been told we can't have the awnings out in front a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah, usually, like, on city streets, they almost always don't want the awnings out because they need to have room for our giant American fire trucks.
Emergency vehicles have to get through, and a lot of streets are, like, with a 10 by 10 on either side and the middle of the street open, there's no extra room for, like, a hanging awning or something. Emergency vehicles have to be able to get in and out.
Okay.
And then other times, they've just been particular about, like, I don't think they were driving a fire truck through, but it was, the vibes were, they wanted it all flat faced. But we use our awning on the back of our tent where we normally have space, and then the pasty husband can sit in the shade in the back.
He made himself a little back porch
Yeah.
with the cooler and his chair and everything.
The fly swatter.
You know what? There was something else that I saw online on Amazon, and I was staring at it, and I had it. I have it on my safe for later, like in my safe for later, just because it's just freaking cool. I will probably never get it, but I think it's cool. It's a literal like add-on for the tent, and it's like an add-on room for the tent, and it's a literal room that you add on to your 10 by 10 tent, and it's a room that you literally. I have to send it to you. It is
So
the
it's not an extra tent that
no.
connects.
It connects to the back of your 10 by 10, and it connects from the top of the tent, and the way that it looks is that, okay, you know, like a camping tent has that kind of A-line shape. It has an A-line shape. It kind of has that shape. Then you add on that half to the back of your tent. I have to send it to you. It looks
Interesting.
cool. And it was saying like you can add on an extra room to end the back of your tent, like if you want to store your stuff or to protect you from the rain, it adds like an extra room for privacy or whatever.
Let's be real.
I was just like, that is so cool.
Let's be real. That's going to be your mental health room where you're going to go when you can't take it anymore and you need somewhere to go to just not be around people.
Yeah, you take turns. Zona's out there and Brian's in the back, and then you take turns for a couple hours and Zona goes to the back and
Honey,
takes a nap.
let's be real. That's where you're gonna go towards the end of the day when you're just like, can I just go back there and take a nap?
Speaking of shit. I'm usually so amped up during those shows. I'm not even
Not on a 3-day week and not on a
maybe
3-day
maybe
show and like day three by like
Maybe.
12 o'clock, he's like, can I go take a nap? Can I go to the car and take a nap?
I've laid down on giant rocks and taken naps.
Yes, he has. Like a
We've
gecko.
had we've been doing more summer shows than we usually or than we've done in the past. And the heat of summer shows when you're like just after lunch and you're not making any sales, I Renee and I have taken turns having naps in the tent.
Absolutely.
Well,
I get it.
I
These
kind
shows
of
were
want to.
also so slow that we could take a nap because it was a terrible show.
You were telling me about it, and I was just like, you've got to be hitting me that you can actually, like,
No,
it's
I went
so
to the
slow, you
back.
can take a nap. That's craziness.
I went out to our back porch awning, sat in the chair. I had brought one of my like favorite squish pillows with me, and I kind of like set it up. Put it on the two boxes, like our two totes, and then faced my chair. And I just leaned and I had my pillow and I slept for like 2.5 hours. And like the band is playing down at the amphitheater stage. It's loud. There's tree trimmers. Like there's no reason I should be able to sleep through all that. But I was like, no, slept like a baby.
It's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
3 day shows are no joke.
Yeah, this one was a 4-day show.
Which one was this?
This was People's Choice Festival in Center Hall, Pennsylvania, which is near State College. And they're all very nice people, but they're not our crowd. We won't be returning. I would say they are more on the scale of craft these days than art. Like, there's a lot of people that are still, their work is still very fine, very high end. A lot, I say a lot. There's a couple of original artists that have been with the show from the beginning that their work is very high end and very fine. And then there are a lot of newer artists that, while their work is neat and cool, it's not exactly like high end enough. And so our price points were just like, we weren't moving big pieces. And when our price points are too low like that, it just doesn't make sense to go back because you're it takes a lot of bud vases to make it worth it to go back to a show.
Yeah, I mean, this show, if we're talking actual numbers, our sales were about 1600. So $1,600 for 4 days, which averages $400 a day. It costs $1,000 to be there. So, like, we're still spending more to even be there. And, like, I'm grateful that we at least came home with like 600-ish dollars. That's great, but it's not enough to warrant to justify going back to that show.
Not when,
No.
again, not when we're not moving big pieces. Like, I'll go to a show. We're considering going back to Buffalo, New York, where we did a show earlier this year, where it was a 2-day show, still in that like $1,600 range. But a decent chunk of that, we sold like two of our bigger pieces. And so, like, there are people there who are willing to spend $200, $300, $400 on pieces of art, and so we'll go back and try again. But like $1,600 when all you're doing is like $50 sales is like we can't hardly bring enough inventory to make that show make sense. And you know, we bring the little stuff because it'll cover the costs, and but the idea is that you're getting your profit margin when you move the big pieces.
What do you think it is? Do you think that, 'cause we run into the same problem, right? It's the shows that we do, it's if you're making in the range of, $1,000 to $2,000, it's okay, but I mean it's not really like that's not where we want to be. We want to be, obviously. That this is the primary time that we sell things. Do you think it's just that the shows are just we're just not finding the shows? Because I have to believe that there are shows out there that people are willing to spend this money. Is it just that they're harder to get into because you have to kind of be in the know? What is it?
They're definitely so like we're later this month we're gonna do you're a picture of grace my dear later this month we're going to do a Howard Allen show, which is a high-end name. This it's a 2-day show in Pittsburgh. They want $575 for the booth fee. And the jury is really hard to get past because it's Howard Allen. We don't know how that'll turn out. He has a reputation. Howard Allen has a reputation of being really, really persnickety, like hard to get into. Like they're the ones that are like, I don't want to see any tables in your tent. I don't want to see like your price tags are too big. You need to get like they're really persnickety, but people say that like they bring in people that are willing to drop $1,000 on a piece of work, you know? And so, but there's also, we talked to lots of other artists, and some artists are like, I didn't find my audience at Howard Allen, and it was too much trouble to keep going back to their shows, so I don't do it. You know, I think you've got to find, you definitely have to find where your audience is, and finding that show can be difficult. I think. So the people next to us at the show we just came back from in Syracuse, did they had a pretty good show. It wasn't everything they wanted it to be, but it was good enough. That they're, yeah, like they want I they had they got like $6,000. I think they wanted like 8 or 10 is their what they normally expect from shows. They sell. Their price points are fairly low. Like they're sub $100 price points for the most part. And their clothing, it's they're like tie-dye clothing.
Clothing is
And
a whole different market, though. I mean, it's like it's apples and oranges.
it is, but like even in the like the art or the craft side of things, some people that are doing we've been to shows where like okay, the Center Hall show where we did terrible. We have a friend who does watercolors, but her business is mostly prints and stickers. She doesn't hardly ever move originals anymore. And she did great. Like she did $5,000 at that show, probably.
At least.
Yeah.
We were just talking to a friend of ours who does she's a painter, and she said she brings her originals pretty much just for wall decoration. You know, all she's selling is prints and
That's
stickers.
exactly what our friend, her name is Hannah. That's exactly what Hannah said. She was like, I rarely sell an original, but it fills my walls. Yeah.
And like that's her whole business is situated around prints and reproductions, which works. Like it works better for paints than it does for wood burning. We had
We're
kind
gonna
of talked
find
about this.
out.
Yeah. In our experience, when people fall in love with our big pieces, they want the big piece. They don't want the print. You guys might have better luck than we did.
Oh, we're
So
about to find out.
I wish you all the best. But that's like a lot of painters are sometimes at some of these shows, painters are just moving prints. And so
Well, yeah, a lot of people who have like $5,000 originals. Yeah, so like if you have a booth full of like over $1,000 originals and you have like six $5,000 things in your booth, of course, someone is going to be way more willing to buy a $75 print. So it's like that's their money maker. And if they happen to have the luck of somebody who comes along and buys a $5,000 piece, god damn, you know? But I don't know. I mean, okay, so I tried doing prints 2021, maybe. I had a handful of pieces. I brought them to a local store, which is like not even a mile from our house, and they are a photography shop. And I went in one day and was like, hi, I'm a local artist. Like, what kind of photography do y'all do? Because they also do like prints and all sorts of stuff. So I was like, I would really like to get prints of my art pieces. And they were like, yes, we do that. Like, we have studio lighting and everything. You can come drop off your pieces. We'll photograph them for you. And then you tell us what size and how many of whatever you want. And so we probably spent at least $100 there. I had given them at least a dozen pieces, and the photos were really good. They gave me copies of all of their photos on a CD. So, like, I have them if I ever wanted to go get those pictures reprinted or whatever. But they just didn't sell. And, like, I don't know. I tried various, but we were still doing like craft shows at that time. So, like, I don't know. I don't know if it was the price point. We had done some at like the Christ Kindle market for Christmas and like no interest. But then I had also turned some of my prints or some of my pieces into cards, and those were hit or miss at places too. Some places there were people who were like, oh my gosh, greeting cards, and they would buy two dozen. And then other times people just glaze right over, like no interest. So it's like, I don't. You know, so I still have this big box of prints downstairs that I don't know what to do with because I can't even sell them for $5. Like, and I don't have a lot of those original pieces anymore because it's been multiple years. So at this point, they're sold. So it's like people don't know. Like I don't have good prints that reflect my art now. So a lot of it is like very, like
Well,
very
I'll say
beginner Renee,
you
like.
got a steal on that price if you paid 100, because I mean we paid more than $100 just for the photographs, and it was for only a few pieces. But I mean, photography is expensive.
Yeah, the photos, I think they were able to do all of my pieces within like half an hour. And I think I paid like $60, maybe 75 for the photo shoot. And then the prints were super cheap, like 25 cents a print kind of thing.
We have a pretty competitive like print making area. Like there's a lot of businesses in the
Yeah,
area.
we have a lot of
So
printers.
I feel like they're keeping their prices down. I don't know if you guys don't have as many around,
Well,
but
I mean, truthfully, I'm sure we could have got it done at a better price, if you will. But I chose our photographer for a reason, and she's a professional photographer. Like, we didn't just go to I didn't just choose like for like JCPenney, for
Yeah.
instance, and get the pictures done. Like
We
how
chose a friend.
we chose a
Yeah.
professional photographer to do it. And I mean, it was a mix. It was the shoot was partially it was headshot for the booth,
She did the
for magazine submission and product shoot. So it was a combination of
It's
different
a
stuff.
bundle. Yeah.
It
Yeah.
was a bundle. So it was more than that, but
If you see the pictures that Zona uses on her social media for her profile, that's the photographer, the one that
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we'll
Yeah.
put her
Yeah, Liz.
in the show notes.
It's
She's
pretty cool.
Yeah. I plan to book her for some more stuff once I actually I've got ideas. I just gotta actually make it.
Yeah.
So, but
So, how have your shows been going overall?
I think that's nice so much. It's so
Not terrible enough that we're thrown in the towel, but definitely not good enough to make us happy. They've been adequate, I guess you could say.
We still haven't lost money.
We have not lost money, but we
okay.
sure as crap still can't build up enough to pay our mortgage alone, and I still can't afford to bring the dogs to the vet for their annual exams. So like I would say to me, not very successful, but at least we have broken even with a little bit of profit, but not enough that's like, if you were to compare it to like a full-time job, like it's not a paycheck. So it's always trial and error, right? And so like this is our third year of doing juried shows. And we're still babies. We're still trying things. Like, it's really hard, like how Amy was talking about in that episode. Like, you can't compare yourself to other people. It's so easy to compare ourselves to the other people around us at shows who are like, I make $6,000. And the tie-dye people who are like, yeah, 10 grand is a good show for us. And I'm just like shitting myself. Like, I would cry, I would cry. That has never happened to me. Like, we can't seem to break over $2,000.
Yeah, David was said 6,000. I'm like, if we walked away with 6 grand, I'd be sitting there like,
I just
I'd
couldn't
be sitting there
believe
in a
it.
float. Like, yeah, I just made,
To be fair, you would have been saying the same thing 4 years ago if I said make over $1,000 at a show, because
Right.
that time we were making a couple of $100 at a
You're
show.
absolutely
A
right.
thousand dollars
You're
seemed
absolutely right.
completely
Yeah.
unfathomable. So
Our
I mean,
second year of doing the Christ Kindle Mart, our local Christmas market, we made like 600 and something, and I was so ecstatic. I could not believe, right? But like our quote booth was like $50 for the weekend. So it's like we were like, wow, we've made so much. Like that was incredible. And I think about that a lot because it is humbling to think of your beginnings, your origins, So like, yes, but when I'm trying to gauge success at this point, looking at all of the things that go into what we're doing now, it's not adequate. So like, it's hard. It's
Have you found that certain things are doing better than others now?
okay. Yes and no. It depends. Everything is always it depends, right? So we have found that the bud vases are like the number one thing that walks out of our tent, sales-wise, like quantity-wise. People love them, and I have them at 25, no, 20, 25, no,
25.
25, 30, 35. Yeah, so the bud vases are the number one thing that walks away from our booth quantity-wise. And because they're a low price point, the 25, 30, 35, people seem happy with that. And I have options. So it's not like I just have a $35 bud vase and they're all 35. I have them based on like the color. So like my black and white cats, those are 25 because I can do them relatively quickly and batch them out. The ones that have a little bit of color, those are like kind of 30. And then the ones that are like full color, like my sunflowers, my rainbow sunflowers, those are 35 because those take a long time. I'm doing each one individually. So like, but people seem happy to have options. And the cat ones specifically, people love the freaking cats. And that's fine. I'll make cats if they sell. It's not what I want to be making. It's not what I want to be selling, but they sell and people like love the cats. And they're easy enough. So it's a good profit margin to make them and sell them. It's stupid to not make them at this point in our journey because I know that they're a good seller and they consistently do good at all the shows. My sunflower bud vases, those have been popular enough. Like I'll keep doing them, but the ones that always sell first and the quickest are my rainbow sunflower bud vases. People love the rainbow sunflower, but I do the sunflowers in all kinds of color palettes. I have pinks and purples, and I do teal and blue, like gold sunflowers. I have all kinds of sunflowers, but the frickin' rainbow ones are the ones people will buy the first. By first, and then I run out of them, and then people don't know what they're missing. So, like, note to self, make more rainbow sunflower bud vases.
It's interesting because we sell the bud vases. People love the bud vases. They always come in and they admire them. But it's like we don't sell a lot of them. We sell a moderate amount of them. I mean, as much as we sell any other piece, but they're not like there was one that we had that was gorgeous, and I don't know, just it like people would come and they'd look at it and they'd talk about it, they'd think about it, they'd say they were coming back for it and then not come back for it. And it just, I don't know what it was.
Price point.
Is it price point? I mean,
I think it was
you
honestly,
never know.
I think it was the price point, but I think it was also the market, right? Because the large bud vases, right? Like I had priced them at 60 because I put a lot of work into them. Fine lines, shading, colored pencil. You saw them. It was like the meadow, for instance, right?
Yeah, they're beautiful.
So I priced them at 60 at markets. Priced them at 60, and people were like, oh, they're beautiful. They'd see the price, and I could see the ooh. Ooh, yeah, you see the sticker shock. And they're like, ooh, it's beautiful, but you could see that, ooh, but it's too much. And that's fine. I'm not lowering the price. That's fine. They look at it beautiful, they put it down. Brought it to Art Drive. I brought it to King's Drive. Walked in, looked at it, didn't even look at the price. She didn't even look at the price. I told her the price with tax. She was like, that's fine. I said, because she I overheard her talking about wanting to hang it up because of her son. She's like, oh, we're gonna have to put it up on a shelf because you know how he pulls things down, da da da. I was like, well, I can stick a D-ring on the back if you want so you can hang it up. And she was like, oh my God, that would be great. So I stuck a D-ring on the back. I'd never stuck a D-ring on the back of one of those bud vases, but it worked for her. 3 seconds, and that was fine. That was fine. She didn't even look at the price. I told her it was like $65 with tax. She was like, whatever. She also bought something else at the same time. Didn't
God
bat an
damn.
eye. That brought it to another art market, an art fine art market. Sold. The second one sold. I sold two of the $60 ones that I was not able to sell in quite a few different markets. Didn't even bat an eye. Sold. So it's just like, I think it was the price that was deterring people, but it was the market that it was at. It was
Correct.
the place that I was at that was also deterring people. What?
There's a show. We were trying to string together some shows in Texas to make it so we could make a trip, go down and visit Renee's family, and more importantly, visit the Southwest. And we didn't get into the one we really wanted. We're waitlisted and we're like number five in line, but we have to make a call soon. And so I think instead we're going to end up going to this other one that was the same weekend up in a different part of Texas. And I think we'll enjoy that part of Texas better anyway.
I don't know. You know what? I To be honest with you, I actually enjoyed Flowfest. I thought that the people were like really chill. They were, I mean, it was yoga. I mean, it was yoga, but they were like, they were just like really chill, and they were like really, I don't know. I
It was
just
a good
liked the
atmosphere.
vibe. I just liked the vibe of. I like the vibe of yoga of Yoga Fest, so I don't
And
know.
sometimes, there are shows we aren't doing it this year. But we had gone back already once before because it was just like the people were just cool. Like, we did okay, and we'll go back again in part just because they were super cool and were happy to have us there and took good care of us as artists. Whereas, like, I don't know, if we had done that same sales volume at a place that was a jerk, we wouldn't be going back.
Noda, the one that we're doing this Saturday, like last year was the original, was the inaugural, and we made table and a little extra. No, actually, I'm lying. We made goal. We didn't
Oh no,
like,
we definitely made well over gold because that was really expensive.
It was really, it was really cheap. We didn't like blow it out of the water per se, but I mean, we did pretty good. But it was just the vibe was really nice too. Like they were just really cool. Like we, it was nice and spacious. They were like, oh, it's a 10 by 10 space, which is, you know, what you normally, when we got there, they were just like, yeah, that's your space. It was like 12 by 12. We just had space. And it was like we had space on either side, but then we had about 20 feet behind us. Because we were like on the edge, and there was just space behind us to the gate, which had to be like 20 something space. They were like, yeah, and you can go, you can just put all your stuff back there if you want. Like, we don't care. And we were like, it
It was
was
just good.
so chill. And then they like had a movie at the end after dark, so we just kind of like
Oh,
we were
nice.
just like chill. They were just like, well, yeah, what's this
They
thing?
were showing the Sandlot.
You can, you know, you gotta
Nice.
pack it up and you gotta get out. And we were just like taking our time watching the movie. It was like really chill. That's what we're doing this Saturday, and it's that
They've
we're
been
looking
promoting it
really, yeah,
crazy.
we're looking really forward to this one because they've upped their price over last year, but they have promoted this so much. Just and like a lot of the
We know so many of the
bands,
artists that are going to be there.
a lot of the big like social media places, accounts here in Charlotte know about this market, and they're promoting it. Like the there's
The thing that I like about it, though, is they're promoting it as an art show. They're not promoting it as a craft fair. They're not promoting it as a pop-up. They're
Good.
not promoting it as a, they're promoting it as a legitimate art show. And they're actually affiliated with one of the art studios in on North Davidson in Charlotte. So
In conjunction.
yeah, they that they are but it's giving it some credibility, which is nice.
Yeah, a lot of the art social media accounts follow them and they're promoting it. It's
That's good.
gonna be big. It's gonna be a big thing, I think. And I think at some point within the next couple of years, it's gonna be that kind of market where it's gonna be like a destination market. Oh, do you know about Noda Bazaar? Like you've gotta go, you've gotta get in, you've gotta go to this one. Like there are some markets that you just know you need to get into as a vendor. You've got to get into this one. You've got to do this one. And it's interesting because a friend of ours, I was talking to her, and she was just like, "Oh, I've got some FOMO. I wish I put in for it. I didn't because I didn't know. I wasn't sure. But now I wish I had." And that's exactly it. But I think it's gonna be fun. There are a lot of people that we know that are gonna be there. There's people from the guild that's going to be there. There are one of the galleries that's associated with the guild is going to be there, like, well, in association with them. Yeah, it's going to be big. It's going to be
Excited.
nice.
What else have you all been up to?
Well, can I take a brief 5 minute aside to rant about booth spaces?
Yes.
We love a good rant.
So when I get a 10 by 10 booth space, I feel like show promoters mostly do a good job, but the show we just came back from did not do a good job. I have a booth that is exactly 10 foot by 10 foot wide. And so when I am booking a 10 foot by 10 foot wide space, you need to give me at least 6 inches on either side so that another booth can come in next to mine. And they didn't. And we got there the day before and set up in the evening, but they were letting people set up the next morning as well. And so when we showed up, we had been like the center of drama because our one neighbor didn't show up until that morning and there wasn't enough room to get their tent up. And they were like afraid of moving our tent. But it was like, I'm talking 2 inches. I got there and I like kicked the leg 2 inches over to the left and it was fine. And then when I measured it, it was shorter than 10 feet wide to begin with. And they had done
Well,
it all.
yeah, the show promoter was like, y'all weren't in your space. Like, she came by to, and she was chill about it, but she was like, yeah, we were calling you. They were calling me at 8:30 in the morning. I wasn't even out of bed yet, but my name's the one because I'm the artist, so it was my number. I don't answer my phone. It's not even off do not disturb at that. Anyway, they were like, yeah, so we were trying to call you. You probably have a couple of missed voicemails. Really sorry about that, but your booth wasn't in your designated area, and so your neighbors were having a really hard time getting in. And as show promoters, we really try to avoid these things, and we really want people to be proactive about fitting inside their space. And we were like, yeah, I agree with you, but also we couldn't fit inside our space because it's too short. So like, and the other frustrating part of this is the people on the other side of the street, they had at least 2 feet between each booth. And so we pointed that out, and I said politely, I was like, okay, so I do have a question. Why do the people across the street from us on that side of the road have so much space between theirs? And she was like, that's a really good question. Like, we didn't remeasure the spaces from last year. And so if this was a problem last year, like, then it would make sense that it's a problem this year because we didn't change the spaces. We didn't remeasure them. We just marked them exactly as they were last year.
And
And I was like,
there's like 60 feet of empty street at the end of this that's still pedestrianized. They could have made the spaces bigger.
yeah, be there was space because there's a fire hydrant, and so you can't have a booth in front of the fire hydrant, but you could scoot down all the booths like 5 inches a little bit, and you still wouldn't be blocking the fire hydrant. But it was like, I'm sorry that they couldn't fit, but like, we're not even in our space, so what do you want us to do? Like, and our neighbors were kind of pissy. They never said anything to us, but you could just tell. Like, they were bickering
Passive
with each other.
aggressive.
They were just upset. And I get it. I would be too. But also, like, you allow everyone to come set up the day before, but also the morning of. You're going to have to expect people to not answer their phones at 8 a.m. in the morning when people are showing up to set up the day of. Because, like,
Because guess what? If I'm
like,
if I'm
not
showing
everyone's
up.
awake at if you're showing up at 5 a.m. because you have a super elaborate thing, but you can't fit in your space, who's gonna answer the phone at 5 a.m.?
But you
You know
know
what I
what?
mean?
If I'm setting up the morning of and I'm on location, IDGAF, if you're calling me, unless you are my child or my husband, maybe my mother, I'm not picking up the phone for you because I'm busy. I'm busy setting up my tent. I'm busy. I'm working.
Yeah,
I'm
I
not.
wasn't even out of
I'm
bed, so it
not,
was
I'm
like,
not, I'm not, I'm no, I'm not picking up the phone.
we had a
No, I'm not
similar,
doing it. I'm not doing it. So I know what story he's about to tell.
we had a
Ooh.
similar issue at a market where it was an indoor event. It was like at a school in a gymnasium, and they told us that we each needed to set up, what was it, a 6 foot table. We were allowed a Or no, I think it was like 10 feet.
the space was supposed to be 10 feet, like as if we had a 10 by 10.
So the guy who was next to us wanted to set up his three tables, and he had one horizontally and then the two vertically next to him. And he was over into our space. And we were explaining to him, we're like, you're over in our space. You need to move over. And he's like, no, I have 10 feet. These are these tables are 10 are
I have a
six
10,
by two.
I have a 10 by 10 tent, and these tables fit exactly in a 10 by 10. Dot 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 dot.
The
Hey,
tables
douche canoe,
were
guess what? A 6 foot table is 6 feet by 2.5 feet wide.
so it comes out to 11 feet if you have two vertical on each side of your 6 foot table. And so he's over in our space and he would not budge.
Would
Why
not
couldn't he take them from
move.
the end of the horizontal and put them
Because
underneath?
he
He
wanted
would
all that
not. He
space.
would not. He would not. He sat there and argued with it. And the thing was this, because he had set up first, right? And then I was to his right. Right? The thing was, you know, the squares, the tiles, every tile is 12 inches. That's the
Oh,
easiest way to
yeah.
measure, right? So all we
Yeah,
had to do
on
is
the
look
floor.
down and count effing tile,
Yeah.
right? So he sat there and he refused to move. He refused to budge because Brian was going in and out, and he was bringing in merchandise. But when I said, because all he saw was me at first, right? And I was like, "Excuse me, but you're in my space." "No, I'm not."
Yes, you
Are
are.
we,
Sorry,
sir, are we
bud.
really gonna play this game right now?
Yeah.
We're gonna play this game right now. Don't. In my head, I'm sitting there thinking, dude, I'm not a Southern belle. I'm from the streets of Brooklyn. Let's not play this game. Right? And he's sitting there trying to be like, because he was real tall and I guess he's trying to be intimidating. Except I don't play that and I don't intimidate that easily. So he's sitting there arguing with me. Now Brian comes back and Brian's looking at me and he's like, "What's the matter?" And I'm explaining it to him. So Brian goes up to him. Now he's trying to get in Brian's face. Don't sit here and try and get in my husband's face. Because now I'm getting even more upset. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not gonna sit here and cause a scene. So I went up to the coordinator and I told her, I said, "Listen, there's a problem, the guy next to us, da 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 da." And she goes, "I know exactly what you're talking about." If she sits there and looks at me and says that, I know there's an issue. And I felt so bad because she comes in and she's talking to him and he's sitting there arguing, "Well, they didn't measure correctly, this, that, and the other." And she's like, "We measured the spaces. What are you talking about?" "Well, you measured wrong, blah, 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 blah." And she's like, "We're not arguing. You need to move over. You need to stay in your space. The lines are on the floor." So then this douche canoe sits there
Have to
and he
bleep
moves over.
that one.
But what pissed me off is that he moved over into
The other neighbor's side.
the other neighbor. And
That's
I
not the
go,
point.
exactly.
But that
But
they were non-confrontational about it and just let him move in there.
the problem that I had was that I felt really bad for her because she was an older lady, absolutely non-confrontational. She had a little table, little corner table, little two little tables with her little stuff on it. I mean, truth be told, she didn't use up the whole 10 by 10 anyway. But you could tell. I could just tell by the look on her face that she was like, you know,
You know,
and he was a complete.
what he was selling? 3D printed toys.
Great. Why is he at an art show?
Well, this was more of a craft show, but still.
I really think it's on, like, I think it's on the show coordinator to mandate some of that stuff. And like ours was over 2 inches and they had solved it by the time we had gotten there. They moved a couple of other people over and like it was all going to work out anyway. My big thing was just that like If it says 10 feet and I've got an exactly 10 foot, like engineers know this, you can't put a 1 inch peg in an exactly 1 inch hole. It needs to be slightly bigger or it doesn't fit. And like, it's just one of those things.
Gotta have
But
that
like, this is why I
leeway.
carry the tape measure. It's always with me, just in case. We're not arguing about what is and isn't based on tiles or shoe sizes or anything. I'm just gonna measure it.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny when they do the shoe side, the step thing, and
Yeah.
I'm like,
No.
Yeah.
really? Really? We're gonna do the shoe thing? We're gonna do the step in front.
The tiles are a good kind of like gut check.
Yeah, the tile. I will gut check with the tiles, but if somebody's telling me the tiles are wrong or whatever, or they're actually 11,
Just
like
get
let's
out the tape
just,
measure.
yeah, we'll just measure it real quick.
I mean, he absolutely, he was that personality that just had to argue because I'm used to arguing and intimidating people to get what I want. He was that guy. And what irritated me the most, even more about him after all that was said and done, was that he was sitting there. He popped open a Bible.
He was using qubits. That's the problem.
I was like,
Great. Love
all right.
the amount of things I could say, but we're on air,
Rant
so
complete.
but
So how else have how have things been going with you all otherwise?
all right, like
you guys have some exciting that you guys are going on vacation soon.
Yeah, like we have our family vacation with David's family for a week in the Outer Banks, which is always a delight. And then I am going directly to Texas because one of my bestest friends is coming to live with us for a while. Her name is Olivia. She'll
From the Outer
probably
Banks? You're going to
no, from
Texas?
Texas.
No, no, no. No, no, no.
I'm
You're going from the Outer Banks to Texas.
Well, okay, so our last day at the Outer Banks is August 16th, and the drive back is like 8 to 9 hours, and we have to drive through Baltimore, BWI. So David's just gonna drop me off at BWI. I'm gonna fly to Texas, and he'll just keep going home.
Oh, and then you're gonna drive with Olivia back. Gotcha. Gotcha,
Yeah.
gotcha, gotcha.
So
I
that's what
get
we
it
have going
now.
on. So between now and when we leave for the Outer Banks next week, we are like converting the guest bedroom, which had been like my studio space, into actually a bedroom for Olivia. Like, we got a hutch. It's like a hutch dresser and bookshelf all in one on Facebook Marketplace. We got a loft bed that has like desk underneath and bed on top for her. We have to clean out the closet, and then all of my art stuff that was in there, it ha now has to go into the back room. So we're rearranging furniture and shit. Like, so that's a big change. We're basically getting a roommate.
Roommate or family?
I know, roommate or family. To me, she's gonna be like family, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, like, I'm very excited for her to be here. She's very excited for the life change. She's excited to get out of Texas. She's ready to basically start her life over. And that's it, like exactly what I did when I came up to Pennsylvania. Like, it was a hot mess. My life was a hot mess. And coming up to Pennsylvania just totally changed my life. So I was like, girly, you don't have anywhere else to go. Come here. Like, our house is small, but we'll find space for you. Like, please come here. So she is. And that'll be exciting. That'll be big changes because then it's like, we only have one bathroom. So now we have to have like a bathroom schedule, right? And our kitchen is very small. Like,
I don't think we need to have a bathroom schedule. I don't think any of the three of us are going to wake up at the same hour of day. I think it's going to be just fine.
no, but just like if we all want to shower at night or whatever, like when? It's just roommate stuff. Like, you just gotta,
I think
anyway.
it'll be a lot more natural than you think it's gonna be.
I hope so. I hope so. We'll see. I was never a roommate with her in college, so
Oh, I thought you guys were. Why did I think you guys were roommates in college?
We were never
Oh.
roommates. So
I still
We
think
get.
I think it'll be a lot more natural than you.
I think so too. But we'll see. I'm just mentally preparing for like bigger changes, you know? And then after that, then we have a show, the Howard Allen show that we had mentioned. We have that in Pittsburgh at the end of August. And then that next week, we will be driving. No, it's in October. Didn't we have a show? We have a show. Oh, we're going to Bar Harbor, Maine. We signed up for a show in Bar Harbor.
I wonder how you'll do in Maine. I feel like Maine is like that would be our people. Like that's where you would find people who are would appreciate wood art. That's where you'd find people who would appreciate kind of folksy things. That's where you'd I would be excited for that one.
For
I'm
those in
very excited.
podcast land, let me explain David's face for just a second. He's got the smirk. The smirk going.
Based on the quality of the wood art that I saw when we were last in Bar Harbor, we're going to do just fine because we blow all of it out of the water. So,
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know. Like, I'm very excited for it because even if the show sucks, we're staying for a week afterwards with my mother-in-law to like see Acadia again and everything. We were there 2 falls ago. We went in the fall of 2023 with my mother-in-law and we had a fabulous time, and we were like, can't wait to go back someday. Turns out someday's just 2 years later. Who knew? But
I'm
we.
thinking like crabs and starfish and seashells
Oh, you're
and
talking about like for
art.
content? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to expect. It's like I had emailed the show coordinator guy and was like, hi, like this is our first time doing this, obviously. What do you like recommend? What do you think about the show? Like, what's the audience like? Because it's a cruise port, right? And so you get all these cruisers, all these tourists. Are they buying little things? Are they not shopping big? Are they shopping for like physically small things at a lower price point? Or because they got big money to be on big cruises, are they the kind of people who are going to be dropping big money? Like, I just don't know what to expect, right? And he basically said, you get a good mix of everybody. You get the land people, you get the wealthy, the wealthy people who live there, you know, you get the summer tourists and stuff, and it'll be at the end of like the AT hiking season. And so there will be people who are finishing up like through hiking the
On the
Appalachian Trail.
trail,
And
yeah.
we're not necessarily near Katahdin, but like you still have people in Maine. So like maybe there will be people younger like us. Like I don't know what to expect. Never done it before, but at least we'll have a fun time in Acadia National Park afterwards, even if it sucks.
Nice. Now, see, now that might be something I would be interested in doing. That could be. He wants to start trying to do like out of state stuff, but I think the logistics of it is going to
It's
be a thing.
expensive. It's expensive.
The logistics of it is what concerns me, right? Because he's got to work, right? We got to drive there, right? Because it's not like we can fly, because how are we getting our stuff there, right? We have to drive there. Then it's just how long to get there. Like I said, he's got to work. Thankfully, he's remote, but we still have to get there. And then we still have child. No. I mean, thankfully he's not a toddler or anything, but child. So we still have some kind of logistics to worry about. So, but that's an interesting idea. See, something like that would be interesting because there's a lot, a big range of stuff that can be made.
I would start with your neighbor states just to get a feel for it before, like, because you're talking going to Maine would be like what a 24-hour trip for you.
I was thinking like Georgia, Tennessee, West Virginia, Virginia, you know, just South Carolina, you know, it's just staying close by. We've done mo mostly everything that we've done is either North Carolina or South Carolina. I
I mean,
will. You want to go ahead?
nope, you go.
I will warn you about West Virginia. If you're a good citizen and intend to pay your sales tax, they'll send you a letter asking you to file sales tax every month for the rest of your life.
They don't have like a temporary sales tax license, like a one-time thing. You have to register and then you have to file every month until you dissolve your number through the state.
One other thing about West Virginia is stay under the speed limit. Man, they are
LOL.
right?
They want any reason to pull anyone over who's out of state. If
I
you're out
have
of state, they're pulling you over. Like,
I'm though they got the cameras. Any time that I've driven through West Virginia, like 10 miles per hour over the speed limit, those cameras nab you.
I believe it. They need their money, damn
Oh
it.
my
And
God.
you're gonna pay.
That's my yeah, that's
My
my
rent.
tax
Yep.
for
Yeah.
driving through the Texas is the same way.
Depends, but yeah. And then speaking of Texas, after the Bar Harbor show in October, we're spending 2.5-ish weeks-ish going to Texas for two shows. It's the first time we've done these, and I don't know how they're going to go, but we're very excited because at least we get to travel. So like that's the up of it. If we have two terrible back-to-back shows, at least we're traveling and I get to see my family. And
What part of Texas?
so the first show is in the Hill Country. It's outside of San Antonio by about an hour, so you're looking at Central Texas-ish. We were thinking of going down, like starting our drive, because it's at least a 2-day drive for us. So we were thinking of starting our drive a week before. It'll take 2 days to get there, and then we could go to Big Bend National Park, which is in like the little wing of West Texas, because we were there, I don't know, 2019, and we absolutely loved it. And I've been dying to go back since I left. But my mother-in-law also wants to come. So, but the way her personal life lines up, she can't come for all of it. So we have the Hill Country show, and then we have Galveston. We're doing the Galveston Island art show, which is back towards Louisiana that way. So Big Bend is like way over there on the other opposite end of the state. So we're like, okay, if Carol's coming with us, like, will we have enough time between the two back-to-back shows to like spend 3 days out there and then make the 12-hour drive back? Like, you know, so
It's a
it's a correct,
big
but
state.
she there's a lot that she wants to see. She, I mean, she's been to Texas, but there's a lot that she really wants to see, especially in the Hill Country area. She's very intrigued by like the German settlements there because it's heavily German. Hill Country, Texas is heavily German, which is just very interesting because nobody suspects it. But she's never seen the Alamo, you know, in San Antonio. So, like, there are a lot of things that she would like to see there. But also seeing Big Bend, that's another national park she can scratch off of her bucket list, you know? So, like, I don't know what she's going to choose. We're pretty open to either because we can go to the opposite. We can go do the other thing that she doesn't choose when she's not there. You know what I mean? So like, and then we'll be driving back up. And then I don't think we have anything else for the year planned.
We don't have any Christmas shows
We don't
either.
have any Christmas shows. But yeah, that's our glimpse into the future. Lots of traveling coming up, and I'm very excited about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, in comparison, we're just boring as hell, aren't we?
Well, damn.
Well, no, I mean
Well, now.
we've got the we've got a lot of local stuff that we're doing. So we've got the bazaar that we're doing next week. We've got the show with the Guild. We've got Pride. We've got
Pride and set. Well,
we just got into the International Art Show in Charlotte.
and ooh,
We got
nice.
Pride on August 17th. We've got my best friend's coming in the first week of September for a week. And then right after that, we just got acceptance into the International Arts Festival, which is 2 days. And that's a first for us, which is, but that's going to be really cool. I'm hoping to make some connections with some international art commerce people. get into some of the Asian fests, which is what I've been trying to get into because
Yeah.
it only kind of makes sense, right? And then I'm gonna put in for Flow Fest, which I should be getting into. And then there's the Guild is having a pop-up, which we got into.
Which always does well.
From what I heard, it always does well. See, one
Is
of
your
the good
first time doing that
things,
one? Yeah.
yes, I had a big case of FOMO last year because I didn't put in for it last year, and I had FOMO for ever about it. So I put in for it this year. One good thing about not having getting approved for festival, now I don't have to stress about making many fine art pieces. I can narrow it down to fewer and not stress as much.
You'll stress anyway.
I have to
You
stress
will.
about other things because I have to make two collections for September and October for homebrew, but that's another story. Then that's September. October, we have Rally. I don't think we have anything on schedule yet for October. November, we have one here with Geek and Grub.
And we should have, that should also be the Christmas market in Brandon Oaks.
Damn, y'all have a lot
That
coming
well, that's
up.
the one. That's Geek and Grub.
No,
Oh,
Brandon Oaks.
Brand. Oh, Brandon Oaks. Remember we were talking about the ones that we don't make any kind of money on, but we do it because it's fun. That's the Brandon Oaks one. That's the
It's
one.
our neighborhood one.
Yeah, a friend of ours runs it, and it's just like,
And then hopefully we get
yeah,
into OMB.
Then we have OMB that we put in for. We put in for 4 weekends, and those are 3-day markets. We'll see how many we get into.
But that's Small Business Saturday, so.
Well, it starts on Small Business Saturday and it's every weekend until like December, like the weekend right before Christmas. So we'll
What
see how many we get into.
that was the market last year that brought us into the black, so.
Yeah, that was the one that we were just like 10 times our goal.
Yeah.
Within like the first like couple of hours of
Incredible.
Friday, and we were just like vomiting from.
I mean, yeah, it's probably good that we're not going to do festival because it does put less pressure on you, but that it is a disappointment.
It's disappointing because it was a juried show that I was looking forward to, but I will stand behind everything happens for a reason. This was not my year to get into it, and you know what? That's okay.
We're
That's
doing our
okay.
best to establish ourselves as a presence in Charlotte.
It's okay.
Yeah, if we had, we just don't have the art scene, like the customers nearby. We are often envious of the fact that you've got so many options that you can still sleep in your own bed at and like do okay. Like we have to leave Pennsylvania to do well, or at the very least Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. But it's been a real annoying feature of our show experience.
You know, it's too bad because there's definitely a lot of, cities and towns in smaller areas that have good art scenes. You know, it doesn't have to be the big cities. It's too bad that none of the ones near you have really invested in that, the art community. Because I mean, I think that they are out there. I mean, there's smaller cities in North Carolina that have art scenes that are bigger than Charlotte.
Yeah, Asheville.
Asheville is a, well, I mean, they're suffering now because of the hurricanes, but
I will th well we spoke to a social media manager and she's saying Asheville is still up and coming. Well, she said there was someplace else up there that's surprisingly actually bigger than Asheville up there, and I forgot which one she said it was. But yeah, there's places in northern North Carolina that apparently are even bigger than Asheville.
Yeah.
Asheville's supposed to be like, from
The
what we heard, is
state,
like
yeah.
the hub for North
Yeah.
Carolina. And I'm like, what? How is that possible? Yeah, so.
I mean, for us, it's not. I think some of the cities are trying, but the people don't have the money to buy it. And so, like, the city might want me to come, but I'm not Like I still got to pay to be there, and it's just
Okay.
not
I
worth it.
know my parents live up near Scranton, and it's always such a shame when we go there because it looks like they're trying, but it just they can't do it. They it's
Scranton area has some historic problems. They were real mobbed up for a while. And then I don't, Joe Biden hasn't saved them yet, but I guess he's working on it.
I just know that every time that I've gone there, like I'll go to like the Steamtown Mall or something like that, and
Yeah.
it's just a ghost town. And I mean, you know, half the stores are boarded up, and I'm just like, what's going on here? You know, like there's enough people that live in the Scranton Wilkes-Barre area that, you know, there should be a community here. There should be, you know, people coming and, you know, consumering, you know, but I don't know,
Yeah.
for whatever reason they're not.
A lot of Pennsylvania's industry is has dried up. And like we're one of those annoying states that people are like, some people are like, you got to keep coal alive for the Pennsylvania small towns. And it's like, no, we don't have to keep coal alive, but it would be helpful if we found some other industry for some of these small towns.
I mean, they tried with the fracking, right? They're doing tons of fracking. They were doing tons of fracking over there, weren't they?
Yeah, there's tons of fracking. It's not helpful because you don't need a city to run a fracking operation. You need like 15 guys and their specialized skills, so they come from out of state and drive housing prices through the roof while they're there and then leave without leaving any jobs.
Except
Like,
for at polluting the water.
yeah, but some of the landowners, if you happen to be sitting on a well and you can get a big payout from it, that's nice. But as far as like replacing the industry, it's just not there.
Well, I know that they were drawing a lot of electricity through Pennsylvania too. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Yeah, we will see. There's windmills, there's future, but both of our wives are currently on their phones, so I think they are done talking about the
No, I think
downturn of
they're done talking
economics in
about the.
Pennsylvania.
No, I'm not on that.
The
I was thinking.
economic turmoil of your state.
I
All right. Any plugs? I think we did our plugs already.
think I think we've been plugging throughout
This
this
entire.
entire episode.
All right, everybody. So this has been Pyrotosti Talks. You can find Zona and me at BZ underscore Furfur. You can find David and Renee at It's David and Renee. The podcast is at Pyrotoasty Talks. You can find us on the interwebs at pyrotoastytalks.com. While you're there, join our Discord, chat with us, hop on to our store to pick up some t-shirts, help keep the podcast alive. That pays for the bills. And stay toasty.
Stay
Stay
toasty.
toasty.